As we get into Bahaloshcho now, Bahaloshcho Shlachlecho, we're going to be learning a lot of significant yesoidas in Chinuch. It's really a very, very sad story. In a way, we can look at what happened over here as a failed Chinuch. I mean, we see that Sof Kol Sof, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, did not go to Eretz Yisrael in the end. It took 40 years of dying to get Klal Yisrael ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. The hopes, Ki'ilu, that had been pinned on the Yotzei Mitzrayim did not work out. And the question is that we need to ask ourselves, what is the Torah telling us over here about why these things didn't work out? We can see some very important yesoidas, but we have to sort of strengthen ourselves to go through some very, very sad insights, which are very nageya to us and which we need to know about. Now, of course, we know that Bamidbar is divided between the first Sefer, which is before the Vayhi Ben Soya, and the other Sefer, which is after Vayhi Ben Soya, and the Vayhi Ben Soya is a Sefer Bifnei Atzma, according to one Shitta. The other Shitta is Lahafsik Ben Puronius, Le Puronius. This Vayhi Ben Soya is a strange two psukim. What exactly is its function? So let's go with the Lahafsik Ben Puronius, Le Puronius. So what's happening over here? What was the earlier Puronius? So let's look what the Ramban says. He says that he brings Rashi, and he has problems with it. He says, Aval inyan ha-medrash hazeh motzu oisoi be'agoda shenosu meha-sinai besimcha ketina kabareach mi-beis ha-sefer. Omru shemu yarbe v'yiten lonu mitzvos v'zeru v'yisu mehar Hashem שהיו מחשבוסם להסיע עצמו משם מפני שהוא הרשם. So they were leaving Sinai with an attitude which Chazal criticized. Vayisu mehar Hashem. They were traveling. What were they feeling? They were feeling, oh boy, Baruch Hashem, we're leaving now the Har Hashem, so there won't be any more mitzvahs. That's what the first Puronius was. Okay, so far so good. What we have to understand is that a tinnik who's bereach mibeis ha-sefer, in case he's going to get more homework, in case he's going to get more reading to do, whatever it is that he would have been afraid of would happen if he would remain in the beis ha-sefer. So the pshat is like this. It's not that that's what's bothering him. It is megale that even what he has learned already is a problem for him. If he would love what he has, if he would enjoy the learning, if he would feel that he's being given maturity and abilities with his learning, so then why not get some more? The more the merrier. What's the problem? But the pshat is like this, that if he's running away from more, so that means that even that which he has, he doesn't have with the right spirit. Even that which he has, he feels irksome and burdensome, and in a way wishes he didn't have them. So here, getting from the Moshel to the Nimshel, if Klal Yisrael were running away from Har Sinai in case they were going to get more mitzvahs, what's wrong with getting more mitzvahs? Hashakit Neshonu b'mitzvahsav. Mitzvahs bring us close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what's so bad about mitzvahs? The Teretz is, they weren't holding by that. They weren't holding by appreciating the mitzvahs which they had in the way that those mitzvahs wanted to be appreciated. And that is a very sad commentary on what we were. We'd gone through Kriyas Yamsuf, we'd stood at Mahamat HaSinai, we'd have the Mon, we have the Anonim, we have the Degolim, we have everything else. But inside us, there's something missing. Inside us, there's a pain. Inside us, there's a disappointment. It's a very, very, very sad pasha. And let's see, we'll go to Rav Shlomo Shmuel Hirsch over here. It's Meirdik, the diukim which he has in the pasha. So let's look. It's very, very interesting. Let's go back to Vayehi ben Soya, where the whole problem really starts. So Vayehi ben Soya ho'orayin, Vayoyim ha-Moshe, Kumo Hashem, v'yofutzoi v'echo, v'yonusu m'sanecho m'ponecho. What made Moshe Rabbeinu so sure that the enemies would run away? V'yofutzoi v'echo, v'yonusu m'sanecho m'ponecho. It's how it is, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so full of the beauty of what she saw. This was why he had taken the children of Israel out of Mitzrayim. This is why he took us out of Mitzrayim. This, the golem, the Mishkan, everything, so beautiful, each shevet where it's supposed to be, oriented towards the Mishkan. There couldn't have been a nicer thing. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, any oivim, any soinim which are going to come, are going to scatter. Remember that Bilam said, v'hi acharisi komoyim. It's beautiful. This is Moshe Rabbeinu being so nispoil from what he's seeing. And how does he go on? Uvnucho yomar, shuv Hashem, rivavois alfei Yisrael. Now this loshen of rivavois alfei Yisrael is really very interesting, because usually we see that the Aleph precedes the rivavois by Rivka. At hayil alfei rivavo. Here it's rivavois alfei, not alfei rivavo. And the other Misholim in Tanakh, Alfei Revavot. So what's Rivavois Alfei? So the Pesach says something completely different. He says Rivavois Alfei means the myriads of Goyim who will one day be drawn towards us through the Alfei Yisrael. That's what he's saying. Pesach says in Yeshaya, V'nilvu Goyim Rabim El Hashem Bayoyim Ahu, V'hoyu Li Le'om V'shochanti B'Sarchech. That's the vision of Yeshaya for the future. In other words, the revolvers that are going to come to us one day, they're not numbered in the Alofim. What were they talking about over there? Atayil Alfei Revolver. A lot of revolvers. How many revolvers? Thousand. Couple of thousand. A couple of thousand revolvers. That's when the Aleph precedes the revolver. When the revolver precedes the Aleph, it means something completely different. Revolvers. No sheer. Billions, 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 however many you want. Yeah? Where do they come from? From the Alfei Yisrael. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. Moshe Rabbeinu saw this machane spread out before him. See, it's very interesting. What does Moshe Rabbeinu have to say it for? It's already traveling. The two Shvatim, two Golem have left already. Now goes the Oran. So now it's already traveling. So what's he saying? Kuma Hashem yofutzai vecha. Teretz is his enthusiasm. He's seeing it in front of his eyes. And he's saying, wow, this is so beautiful. This is the point of achievement in my life. For this, everything was worthwhile. And he sees the future. Shuva Hashem, rivavois alfei Yisrael. But you know what happens? Right after that, the next posuk, Vayehi ho'om k'misoinenem rabo osnei Hashem. So, Rav Samuel has pointed out, I never noticed that in all the decades and decades that I've seen this, but it took me at least to hear it from Rav Samuel here. Vayehi v'nsoye ho'orayin vayoyim ha'moshe, kum Hashem v'yofutzei v'echa. He will say, this is Moshe talking, what the Torah is doing over here is contrasting, yeah, but what about the people? Now listen to how Rav Shamshavar Hirsch learns misoinenem. We all know that an oinen is somebody who mourns for somebody who never died. The person lost one of the kroivim, which he has to be misabel over. So he's an oinen until after the kvura, then avelus is chal. So oinen is a very, very, very sharp and painful avelus. What's a misoinen? Yeah, what is in the hispoel, in the reflexive? Misoinen, Rav Shamshavar Hirsch learns, they were mourning for themselves. They saw what was happening as a kind of death. Do you hear that? By here, Unke Misoinenem. They were people who were loivish, the tzura of an oinon, concerning themselves. That's how he learns. What's the chat? They saw themselves dying. They saw themselves dying. You've got the most beautiful Klal Yisrael that you've ever... You heard what Moshe Rabbeinu said a minute ago. Yeah, but that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Because by him, everything that was Emes, everything that was Emes, and was Emes in a very, very clear and palpable form. And by the people, it looks different. What do they have? They look ahead. They have the Odon of Hashem. They look within the Machane. You have the Mishkan. So the attractions of Olam Hazeh are very, very, very strong. And probably, you know, I had a Maisa once. A young girl came to me, a young lady, she must have been 16, 17, I don't remember anymore. But she was a recent Balas Tshuva. And she came with a Shaila, and it was probably the hardest Shaila that I ever came across in my life. Yeah, she said, listen, from 4 years old, 5 years old, who knows, yeah, I've been trained as an opera singer. Yeah, I have an operatic voice, and for I don't know, my whole life has been devoted to learning and to developing my voice, that I should be a top opera singer. Now, how can I be matim that with my Yiddishkeit? I didn't have the guts to say that, but the real answer is it can't, really. I mean, I'm not going to tell her, look, you'll go to Beis Yaakov, your local Beis Yaakov, and they have a Chanukah party, and there in the play you can sing for the ladies. I mean, that's not what she's talking about. She's talking about an opera singer of world stature. So, you know, whether the advice which I gave her was right or wrong, it's another story. I told her, in the meantime, continue taking your lessons. The Rabbi Shem gave you this koyach, there must be a reason for it. I can't tell you now how you're ever going to use it, but if the Rabbi Shem gave you that koyach, use it. That's what I told him. I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but I could understand that this girl felt in herself a sense of dying. If, for example, it turned out, I've no idea what happened to her, maybe today she's like a big tzaddikah somewhere, yeah, and not an opera singer. So maybe at times, if she feels a little depressed, she'll feel that there was a certain death. There was some kind of a death over here. That aspect of her life, the Olam Hazeh, the variegated beauty of Olam Hazeh. There's so much beauty. The Rabbi Shem made this world in such a beautiful, beautiful way. You have a look at the foliage when it gets to fall, and you see all the colors interacting with each other, creating so much beauty. You are on top of a mountain, you see spread out for you, in front of you, other mountains, forests, streams. There's so much beauty, the music that's available, the thinking that's available, the living here in our physical world is a mayodik, a mayodik, a mayodik, a beautiful thing if you do it right. And if you are, as you perceive it, being torn out from that, all you see is the Onan in front of you and the Mishkan in your midst, so then you become a misoinen. You are mourning your own death. There's a whole chunk of me, yes, I understand how beautiful this is, and I understand that this is the tachlis, and everything is endless, but there's something dying inside me. I'm giving up so much that I feel I'm dying. That's what the pasuk says. Vayom k'misoinen them. Moshe Rabbeinu was going into all kinds of his pilots. Oh, kuma Hashem v'yafutzei v'echo. Yeah, he sees a whole world streaming towards what's going on here. You know, it's very, 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 like Rav Shlomo Hirsch makes this unbelievably sharp. However, so what happened later on after the Misoinanim? V'asafsu v'asher b'kirbo his'avu taivo v'yeshuvu v'yifku gam b'nei Yisrael. Oh, like it hurts so much when you read this. Let's go to there and see how he learns over there. What is v'ho asafsuf? What does that mean? So the emes is, we find words which double things. Mishmesh, to touch constantly, to feel things. Gilgal, there are lots of words which come doubled in order to convey a sense of repetitiveness, of a lot of it, and so on and so forth. So he tells that really, if you want to use that principle with the verb osaf together, so then we would have expected asaf asuf. Where's that second aleph? Asaf asuf. That's what it should have been. Why is it asaf suf? Why is the aleph missing in the second half? The samach pei is there like in the first half, but the aleph is not. Where did that disappear to? So he says, What's the Pasuk saying over here? Chazal tell us that this was the Erev Rav. It was Taka the Erev Rav. Now, the Erev Rav, they had come to join us. When we were going out of Mitzrayim, the Erev Rav came to join us. Were they assimilated within us? Did they really become part of us? Steht im Pasuk, nein, they didn't become. Osaf means to gather in. Saf is a keli. Adam asher basaf is a keli. A saf, a sufa, is a door step, the way you go into a house. What the Pasuk is saying over here is that these unassimilated people, that means assimilated into Klal Yisrael, they met when they came and became part of us. Instead of becoming Yidden, they saw a keli which could contain them, a saf. Instead of becoming part and parcel of the whole mussar of what a Yid is, they had a doorstep, they had a means of entering it, but they never went beyond that means. So they're still on the doorstep. See, so what happened is like this. The people mourned for their lost Olam Hazeh. They mourned for their lost physical existence, which for them contained so much beauty. So what did the Rabbani Shem do? Vativa bom esh Hashem, vatoichal bikzeh ha-machaneh. Very, very interesting, the formulation over here. Not Hashem sent a fire. It says a fire broke out. Vativa bom esh. The Tau says, udelei kasbehon esh osa. It happened ki'ilu by itself. Vativa bom esh Hashem, vatoichal bikzeh ha-machaneh. Very interesting. It doesn't say b'soich ha-machaneh. It doesn't say b'miktzaos ha-machaneh, that there was ash all over. At one end of the machaneh, suddenly a fire started burning. The Yidden were shown, Kinderlach, watch out. Don't mourn for your lost physicality. It's not a reason for mourning. Believe me, I'm giving you something which is worth a lot more than that. And if you can catch on to that, you'll be happy, you'll be fulfilled. Whatever you want, you can have. So, doesn't say what happened, but apparently they took the lesson. They can. This was a message. It was telling them, Kinderlach, you're doing something very dangerous. If you're mourning the loss of your former lives, you're going to be in trouble. It's going to eat away at you. Ultimately, it's going to destroy you. Don't. So they took it to heart. But then what happened? Vasafsuf Hashem b'kirbo hisavu taiva. Oy, that's moyodik. These unassimilated Erev Rav people, they couldn't learn the lesson of the Vativa Bohem Esh, because they were not assimilated. They didn't experience an osaf. They experienced a saf. They experienced a keli. I'm in there, but not of it. You put something in a keli. It's in the keli, but it's not of the keli. It's a doorstep. I have the means of gaining entry if I ever feel like gaining entry. But at this point, I haven't yet. So they weren't impressed by that fire. If they weren't impressed by that fire, so then when they had seen the real Yidden being misoinen them and mourning their own death, so they chapped and they said, what crazy people we are. Why did we want to join these people over here? And they turned that whatever had been felt by the Yidden, and which had hopefully been cured, at least temporarily, we'll see in a moment, but by them, it was makash roshem. They said, it's a crazy thing, we can't give up. And so Mimele, it was his avu taiva. They made themselves have a taiva. It's not that they suddenly by themselves felt an urge for these things. They were his avu taiva. They generated in themselves. It's again his hispoel. His avu taiva. They reflexively created within themselves a taiva. And what happened? By Yoshuvu v'yifku gam b'nei Yisrael. And when the Yidden saw that, so that misoinenem, which had been, at least in some sense, cured with the fire which had broken out, so suddenly it started again. So it was again burning by them, ki'ilu. maybe it wasn't that they were mourning about themselves as though that were a death, but Vayushuvu Vayivku gam b'dei Yisrael. And they cried. It wasn't Aninus, but it was Avelus. Avelim also cried. Yeah, Vayomru Mira Achileinu Bosse. See, Zochanu es Adogo Asher Neuchal b'Mitzrayim Chinam. Es Akishuim ve'es Avatichim ve'es Echotzir ve'es Abetzolim ve'es Ashumim. That's a moigotic disaster. So what happened over here? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? A few psikim later, when he saw that that's what they did. What do you give me these people for? It's a moigotic disaster. What does it say in the pasuk over there? So he asked, what does Ribbono Shel Olam say to Moshe Rabbeinu? We don't find anywhere that Ribbono Shel Olam said that. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Why do you tell me so? Tell us, as he said, he felt inside himself that he had that koyach. He understood that he had the koyach of bearing the whole of Klal Yisrael like an oimen is carrying a yoinek. He knew that this was within him. And if this is within him, that is his life and that is his duty. We have to be bided within ourselves what our koichas are. And when we find out what our koichas are, we need to follow them. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, what did you do to me? You created me with these koichas. I interpret the fact that I have these koichas within me. I interpret it as you're telling me in so many words, Moshe, this is your job. So I come, I do my best, and what do I have? I have people concerning whom I said, Kumo Hashem v'yofutzei v'echo v'yonusu misanecho v'ponecho v'nucho yamar shuva Hashem v'rivo v'az alfa Yisrael. You know what? At which level of life and in which level of experience I'm dealing? You know who I'm dealing? With people who are worried about a stick of garlic. Rahman al-Islam, what did they want over here? Can you imagine people saying like that? Okay, so Chanes Hadogo Ashanoch Mitzrayim Chinam. Alright, they had a good deal with the fishmongers and they got the fish for free. Yeah? But then the pickles and the avatichim, whatever, the melons, the chotzev, the onions, iron tzibbles on Shabbos, Shumi, what's going on? The Talmud says, Rosh Hashanah notes it. He says, they weren't complaining that they weren't being fed a healthy diet. They did very well with the man, and they were healthy, and they were good, and they were right. But they said, there's no variety. Exactly what we said before. Where's the variety? Yeah, you're handing me a man, and I can, let's say, convert it into a roast chicken. Ah, beautiful, tastes beautiful. Yeah, but I need a pickle with my chicken. And always the same chicken, always the same food. And what about a sprig of parsley? These are important things. Like if that's what's bothering them, so then what am I supposed to be doing? My entire life is a waste. If I feel within myself that I have these koichas, and that is an eloquent demand of me, that I live with those and use them, so then what's my point of living altogether? That's very understandable, the years which Moshe Rabbeinu had. So what's happening over here? What's happening is that they find it difficult to break away from Olam Hazeh. Yes, so some Arachim person would perhaps come to them and say, listen, it's okay, you can become an Eleth Yid and you can still enjoy Olam Hazeh, which is theoretically true, in practice not always true. But the bottom line is that they weren't ready for that. And you know how we know that it wasn't ready for that? Because after Baal Oyster comes Shlach Lecha. And that was tragedy. That was sheer, undiluted tragedy. And the Dor Mitzrayim, the Yotze Mitzrayim, did not go to Eretz Yisrael. They died in the Midbar. Very, very, very sad story. What's the pshat? The pshat is that this was an sort of an artificial kind of lifting up, and it didn't work. Now, exactly how that works and why the Ribbono Shel Olam did it that way, I don't know. I don't know enough to be able to touch that up. But the bottom line is that what had been mooted, namely, that these Yotze Mitzrayim should be the ones who are going to be the boy Haaretz, it didn't work out. They did not become the boy Haaretz. The children, 40 years later, 40 years in the Midbar, doing nothing but dying. Every Tisha B'Av, we know the story. What's happening over here? The Teretz is that this whole sad progression of events is really one Chefze. It's the unreadiness of this Doer to rise to the challenges, which means that the challenges which had been made of them and told Lech Techacharei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah, they did it, and Baruch Hashem, and the schuyas of that are beyond description, kanile. Zochati lo chesed noraich, avas klula sayach, lechter achra b'midbar. See, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's interesting that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, zochati lo chesed noraich, that I'm remembering it. Because so much happened in the meantime that could have persuaded the Ribbono Shel Olam to forget that. To forget that they had followed him into the Midbar. It's all very nice to follow into the Midbar, but once you're in the Midbar, what do? Another grumble, and finally, when you've reached the peak of what could be expected of you, it doesn't last 2 days. They went the first day on the 20th of Iyar, so they were traveling, and they did 3 days travel in 1 day. It was Kfitzas HaDerech, the beginnings of the Kfitzas HaDerech, and immediately you have the Asaf Sefer Shebekir Boy, and then in the end you have the Meraglim. So the vote is like this. What do we learn from this? What can we learn from this? What evidently are we supposed to learn from this? I would imagine that what we are expected to learn from this is that you cannot saddle people with demands by which they're not holding. By our own children, some of them will gobble down Torah and Tefillah and Middos and alle gute Sachen and want nothing else, and Baruch Hashem for such children. And other children, it's also Baruch Hashem for such children, but they're not mesugel to do that way. And they are the children with open eyes, and they see the beauty of nature, and they see the beauty of wisdom outside the Torah, knowing the sciences, knowing all the things and the meshunedik and neflois which the Ribbono Shel Olam is megalitas in the Bria. There's so much out there that's attractive. There's so much out there that beckons to such children. And we can't expect from them that they should lay down and die. The Pasuk is telling us over here, deny something, somebody that which he needs, and which in an objective sense is perfectly legitimate. There's nothing wrong with loving the beauties of nature, with loving the intricacies of biology, whatever it is, and you take that forcibly away from him, so then you're going to be shouldered with a misoinonym of somebody who's mourning himself, who's feeling that parts of him are being killed, and he doesn't want that. And we see in the Torah that that's what happened, that it helped for a while to say that the ash which kindled by itself, that the Rabbanim was showing them, look, you're eating yourself up, you're destroying your whole future. But 5 minutes later you had the Asaf Sof, and there they were crying. And then in the end, when the Slav came, the Nofal Mehem Rav, and then in the end came the Meraglim, and the whole generation dies out. I don't have any answers, but it's meshunadik important, in my opinion, to learn by Loisro in a way that we see that the Torah is ma'olah to us the questions that we have to ask. Loisro should help, that we should have the wisdom to find answers to these questions.